It's wonderful to see you this morning. Before we get to begin, we're going to talk about baptism today. And I'd like us to take a minute and remember our baptism. Think about the people that were involved in that coming about and how you felt when you were baptized. As many of you know, I became a Christian at 18 years old through a German Baptist church in Rochester, New York. The youth group that led me to the Lord got to the pastor of the church we were going to and had him start a communion class, or confirmation class. I don't even know what they called it back then. But one of those things, and it led to my baptism. The pastor was Fred Mashner. He wasn't a really great preacher. He was a good guy, really good guy, not a great preacher. And I appreciated the Sunday school class much more. And I gave more money to the Sunday school than I did to the church, too. But he was solid, good person. And I appreciate him this morning for his ministry to me and baptizing me at the ripe old age of 19. Lord, I thank you so much for your grace to us this morning that allows us to be here. Help us as we listen to these words. Make them your words. Make your spirit be among us. Touch our hearts and move us. And use this instrument to encourage people, to give grace and love. For you are a gracious God who has cared for us, came, died, resurrected, and is with us today. We give you thanks, worship, and love. Amen. The church is not quite 2,000 years old. I think that'll happen in 2033. Over the time, changes have happened. The church has been described like a dresser drawer. At the beginning, it was a pretty empty drawer. As time passed, more and more things were added to the dresser. And the drawers became full of lots of traditions, teachings, rituals, some good stuff, some neutral stuff, and some questionable stuff, depending on, of course, your perspective. Took out 98 things, if you remember what those 98 things are, looked at the dresser and said, huh, this is good, and put it back. Along came a reformer named Calvin. He took the dresser drawer out, pulled out a few more things, commented on those things, wrote long dissertations on them. They're called the Calvin Institutes, if you've read them. I've read some of them. Put the dresser drawer back in the dresser and said that was good. Finally, the Anabaptists came along. They took the dresser drawer out and dumped it. Put it back upright, picked a couple things off the floor and put them back in the dresser drawer and said that was good. Each of these churches I love and have done great work over the years. But one of the things the early Anabaptist put back was baptism. Most of the Christian church at the time was practicing infant baptism. It was convenience. It helped people. But the early Anabaptists examined the Bible and said that baptism was to be done by practicing believers, people who accepted Jesus as their Savior and Lord, and were committed to following him, and done by immersion. Jesus, as the adult person of age, dedicated their lives to following Jesus, the Anabaptists would baptize them. Most people of that day were baptized as infants already. Thus the name Anabaptist, or rebaptizers. Anna means to redo. Anabaptist. What baptism is not? Baptism, Anabaptists, hold it. Anabaptists and most evangelicals today believe that baptism is not washing away your sins. Washing away your sins happens through accepting Jesus as your Savior, confessing your sins to Jesus, and getting forgiveness. Romans 10:8 says, "But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your hearts. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For with the heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you profess faith and are saved." What is baptism? Baptism is an ancient ritual used by Jews and many other ancient cultures as a purification rite to prepare for prayers and sacrifice. John the Baptist used baptism to help people experience turning their hearts to God in repentance. Jesus also used baptism and taught his disciples to baptize persons who were invited to believe in Jesus. I believe in baptism by water through immersion. It's symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Believers are baptized to demonstrate our obedience to Jesus and as an outward sign to our family, to our friends, to the whole community that we've decided we're going to follow Jesus with our lives. Why was Jesus baptized? There are three Gospels that tell the events of Jesus' baptism: Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Let's turn to one of them, Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you have come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he came out of the water. At that moment, heaven opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And the voice of heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Keep your finger there and move over to John chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, heavens tore open. The Spirit descended like a dove, and the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, who I love. With you I am well pleased." In Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he prayed, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven called out, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." All these accounts say that the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus. At that moment, heaven opened, and the Spirit came down and descended on him like a dove. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven tore open and a Spirit descend on him like a dove. Wow, What have been like to have been there and see that? See the sky open up and something that looked like a dove come down, something the Holy Spirit and light on Jesus. That must have been quite an event for the people around John the Baptist. To have heaven open and the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus and to hear God say, "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased." This is one of the events in Jesus' life where all three persons of God were involved. It begs the question, is the Holy Spirit more involved after Jesus' baptism with Jesus than before? Is the Holy Spirit more involved in our lives when we are baptized? I think so. God rewards obedience. And Jesus demonstrated obedience when he was baptized, and we also demonstrate obedience when we are baptized. Jesus' baptism pleased God. Jesus was without sin. He didn't need to be baptized. So why was he? He was God in the flesh. He was without sin. Jesus' baptism made that his declaration of following God public. Jesus told the world that he was going to follow God with his whole life. Maybe he didn't need to do it, but doing it made it known to the whole community of his desire to obey and to please God. When we are baptized, we please God too. We too make our desire public. We declare to our families, our friends, and our community that we want to follow Jesus for our whole lives. Jesus was baptized as an example for us. He thought baptism was so important that he himself was baptized. When he made baptism, we're not only following Jesus' example of obedience, but we ourselves are becoming examples to those around us, to our family and our friends, that baptism is important. And dedicating our lives to following Jesus is something we can do publicly. In Matthew's account, John and Jesus have a discussion before his baptism. God uses unworthy, inadequate people. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so. It's proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. John was concerned that he was not worthy to baptize Jesus. And you know what? He was right. I'm sure that he thought that he was better than many of the people that came to him for baptism, because of his lifestyle and how he was following God. But here came a person that he was not worthy to baptize. But the truth is, none of us are worthy. God uses unworthy people to minister to unworthy people. And as soon as we think we're worthy, we're in trouble. Jesus tells John, "It's okay." And deeper than that, he says, it's not only okay, it's proper, it's right, and fulfills all righteousness. Jesus needs John to do his job in order for Jesus to do his job better. In my former position as a Christian ed director at a large church in Kenmore, New York, one of the tasks I had was to recruit Vacation Bible School volunteers. One year I invited a young man to come be a guide, a mentor, for the third to fifth graders. He was shocked. And he came to my office and protested. He said to me that he was not worthy or good enough to do this job. I'd known the man for over a year. He'd made a dramatic change in his life from an alcoholic to a follower of Jesus. And I knew that he would do a really good job. So I said to him, I know that you're not worthy, but God is capable, and God is worthy, and he can use you. If you let him use you. He thought and prayed about this for a few days. He did storm out of my office, by the way. He stormed out. He thought about it for a few days and came back to me and said, okay, David, I'll try it, but I don't know about this. We had a pretty good-sized vacation Bible school, and I had distributed the third to fifth graders to four guides. We had a center for learning the Bible and a center for missions and a center for crafts and a center for games and a center to memorize your Bible verse. Tom's group, like every other group, I said his name, was 7, 8 kids on Monday. On Tuesday, it was 10 kids. The other groups were still 7, 8 kids. On Wednesday, it was 15 kids. By Friday, it was 25 kids in Tom's group. He had them running around, jumping, learning their Bible verses, and having a great, great time. He was a wonderful mentor. Tom went on to be a vacation Bible school leader every single year, and he helped me with the youth group for third to fifth graders and had the same thing happen to his third to fifth grade youth group. I divided those up into four groups as well. He was a great mentor. And then for years, he ran a Bible club out of his home, like a Youth for Christ Bible club. And God's still using Tom today. We have times when we don't feel worthy. And Jesus reminds us that we are right, we're not worthy. But Jesus is worthy and has made us worthy through the cross. We are called to baptize believers. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 6, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the ends of the age. Baptism is so important that Jesus, in his returning to heaven, told his disciples to go and to make disciples and baptize them in the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus' command is threefold. Make disciples, baptize them, and teach them to obey my commandments, which is to get baptized. Sorry, I didn't say that. These words are Jesus' last will and testament. They are marching orders for the people of the church. This is what the church is about first and foremost. To make disciples, baptize them, and to teach them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. To make disciples, how do we do that? How do we make disciples in the church of today? I think it's not different than the church of yesterday. Spend quality time with family and friends. Take opportunities to help people come in contact with. Discipleship is done best in community. It is where different people take opportunities to spend time with the same people. I didn't become a Christian through one person. I became a Christian through a group of people. And I think that most of us have. We need to be people involved in sharing our faith with others, nurturing the relationship. Some of the best outreaches we already are doing. Men's Bible study, women's Bible study are great places to bring people who don't know Jesus yet, aren't they? Vacation Bible school and youth groups are wonderful environments to share the love of Jesus with people. Now we need to also think outside the box. Christian author Tom Hopler wrote a book where he encouraged Christians to not form new ministries. They're already doing pretty good ministries, he thought, but to join existing events going on in our community. Events like the Rotary Club, the Bridge Club, bowling a couple times a week, getting involved in things our neighbors are involved with, and being a witness and a light in those events. There are already lots of things going on that we can do to meet people and have opportunities to share our faith. And then bring those people to men's Bible study and women's Bible study and VBS and those kinds of things. Baptism by immersion demonstrates the death, burial, and resurrection. It's a public declaration that you are following Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. Baptism is obedience to God's commands and deeply pleases God. Thank you, God, for your presence with us today, for giving us the institution of baptism to help us make public our faith, to be your witnesses here in Alden, New York, in the Western New York region, and throughout the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.